This is Isabella Morales on July 23rd at the Princeton Public Library as part of the Voices of Princeton project. I'm here today with Harriet Brainard and Jackie Osblund.
Hi, I'm Harriet Brainard and I'm the interviewee.
And I'm Jackie Osblund and I am the interviewer. And so I'm going to start, Harriet, with a question about your parents. I'd like to know what part of the country they were from and how they met, and also what part of where their families had emigrated from. So,
wonderful. Okay. So, my father, his family is from New England. So, they grew up in Hartford area, Connecticut. And originally, the family, interestingly, we always thought it was just England. When people say, you know, where's dad from? I say England. But when, interestingly enough, recently my mom figured out that originally the Brainards also emigrated from France. So, and my dad never really liked the French, so we think it's very funny. So, of course, he's passed away at this point, so she can't rub it in. But originally, apparently, they did emigrate from France to England and then over to New England. And the Brainards go way back to Governor Bradford and the original settlers in the New England area. So there's a lot of Brainards up there, and my dad actually, we put his ashes up in a very old cemetery dating back to the 1800s. And when we went to the cemetery recently, I hadn't been because my mom had spread the ashes with my brother quite a while ago. And we returned to the place my dad had spread the ashes, and there were all these Harriet Brainards, which was really funny. And of course, they had lived into their, like, 80s and 90s. I was, like, in the 1800s, which was remarkable. So that's where he's from. And then my mom is from Stillwater, Minnesota, which is outside of Minneapolis, a little town that was really built upon the St. Croix and moving wood. And, you know, it was all back in the days of cutting lumber down and moving wood down the St. Croix. And I recently had the opportunity to go back with my mother before my uncle passed away, and we went around, and I learned a great deal about the family history at that time, which was really wonderful. So my mom grew up there. She went locally to school, and her father was very involved in the mercantile business, and he was involved with goods, transferring of goods and so forth, and they were a stop on the railroad during the Depression. And my grandmother would feed all these people riding rails.
People they called hobos in those days.
And she was well known along the riding the rails, and people stopping and knew they could always get some food. Because my grandparents on my mom's side were involved in the food business, they had groceries, so they fed a great deal of the town during the Depression. Wow. And so it was fun listening to the stories back then, and the famous hotel, which is still there, when it was originally built, it was a stopping point for hunters and so forth. And they, the stream, actually, the town is very much built on a hill, a steep, steep hill. And the stream would run down the hill and go right through the hotel, and then everybody would pick out their fish as it would swim by through the hotel to eat in the restaurant.
That's great. So then how did your mom get from Minnesota all the way up to the East Coast?
So mom knew she always wanted to get out of Dodge, you know, kind of thing. She was like, I'm in a small town. I want to get out of here. She went to the University of Minnesota, and she was the first female president of her class at the University of Minnesota, graduated with honors, and went into the retail business. She worked in retail during her career at college, and then went into the retail business and got a job through friends in Minneapolis that she worked for. A family got her a job in New York. So she went off to New York, had never been to New York before.
Where?
She worked at Peck and Peck.
Okay, I remember that.
Yeah, so she got there, and Peck and Peck is a woman's retail store.
One of the old department stores.
Old department stores, and very, very well known. It was sort of the top of the heap at that time.
Kind of like a Neiman Marcus now.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And since that time, she has run into actually a Princeton family, well-known Princeton family, the Erdman family, who all have kind of migrated to Princeton. They all went to Princeton. Grandfathers went to Princeton. They married, one of them married a woman who was directly a Peck and Peck of the Peckinpah family. So Mom knew, they knew a lot of the same people, which was nice. And so Mom came there. She, as typically my mom, just kind of moved up in the ranks, decided she was going to be a buyer, and she just forced herself right into that eventually. And she lived on a fifth floor walk up in Hell's Kitchen, which at that time was the slums of New York.
Yeah.
And
so what year are we talking
about? So we're talking right after the Depression, actually.
So before World War II.
So before World War II.
Okay.
Exactly. And so she got there. I guess, actually, no, what am I saying? It probably was about right after World War II, probably,
okay,
that she moved.
So like 45?
Right.
Okay.
Right. So because her brothers had gotten on a train in Minnesota and taken it to join the Coast Guard. Yeah, outside of New York.
Oh, okay.
So during the war. So anyway, so she, it was right after the war that she left.
Okay.
So she, anyway, she lived in Hell's Kitchen, and she had quite, I mean, I'm recently learning more and more about her time there. She just had a tremendous, she dated playwrights, and she dated all kinds of fascinating, interesting people. And her roommate, which she didn't realize, it was through friend of a friend, she had a roommate. And the woman was a lady of the night, as they called them at the time. And she had no idea. She used to say she thought it was great because she was at working at night and Mom worked during the day. So it worked out very well. But Mom said she was really nice. So I never really thought about it, you know. But
and so how did she meet your dad?
So one day, my mom decided it was such a nice day. She would take her time getting to work, which she would do at certain times. She'd make up some excuse. So she was taking her time getting to work because it was so beautiful. So she took a walk, and then she got on the Fifth Avenue bus. And she was on the bus and sat next to my dad and met my dad in bus. Now, if you ask her, if any stranger asked her, she will never tell you that story because she's so embarrassed that she was picked up on a bus in New York. But that is literally how they met. And she had a date that night. She blew it off, went out with my dad, and was with him ever since. They did have one point where he had been married before, and he wasn't sure if he wanted to get married again. And she said, okay, that's it. And she left New York and went back to Minnesota and took the dog that they had gotten together, this huge boxer, back to Minnesota on the train. And he eventually chased her down, saying that he wanted the dog back, and anyway, they ended up getting married. So that was wonderful. But my dad was about 7.5 years older than my mom.
Okay.
So then when they got married, they moved to Bucks County, Pennsylvania. And that's how they ended up there.
Okay.
And my dad had heard about it and been there because he regularly was in New York and Philadelphia. And he just thought it was such a beautiful place to live. So that's why they decided to move there. And his business was kind of all over.
And this was where you were born?
And this is where I was born. Okay. So we were all born there in a very small little house. And when I was born, my parents decided it was too small with the dogs. And apparently they had some crazy neighbors. And so Mom said, I've had it. We're moving. And at that time, Moss Hart and Kitty Carlisle, and Moss Hart was a Rogers and Hart playwright in New York. And he was married to Kitty Carlisle, who was on What's My Line. And they had woken up literally one day, and she had said, Green Acres, you know, I don't want to live.
I'm tired
of Bucks County. I want to move back to New York. And they picked up and left everything except their clothes. You know, she took her clothes and moved back to New York. And they, my parents moved in, and we rented the place for the next 16 years at $500 a month.
That's so great.
But it was a huge place, so it was tough. You know, my parents didn't have a lot of money, and so we were really took care of the place. It had a Olympic-sized pool. It had one of the only two Olympic-sized pools in Bucks County. It had a cement tennis court, a cement badminton court, what we called a summer house, but it was really just a, you know, like a gazebo kind of thing. But it had a floor and everything, but and so our house kind of became the go-to place for everybody to come to.
And
my dad,
it
was the party house. My parents loved having everybody over, but my mom, you know, looking back on it, just worked her tail off. But it was also wonderful because there were so many great personalities, and they would have these parties. And my dad, we had this old Mustang, first edition convertible Ford Mustang, and we learned to drive on that when we were like 12, 13 years old. And we would drive the car back and forth to the pool with all the food and everything, and then we would grill out by the pool. But Mom, because it was just too much to carry all the food for, you know, 20, 30, 40 people all the time. So, and then my parents had camps. So we had, they hired a diving and swimming instructor who taught us all to swim and dive. And then we invited all our friends. And so they had camps at the pool. And during this time, my dad also had a business in the barn. So he still made Meter Masters, which was developed by his grandfather.
Okay, and what were they?
They measured the rate and flow of water. So you could find, you know, where there were leaks and so forth. And he had grown up in very much in the water industry. So okay. A lot of my childhood, I remember going to waterworks conventions all over the place.
Huh.
And
now how did you connect to Princeton from there?
So we were going, you know, we all lived in this house and so forth. And then as we got older, we went to Buckingham Friends, a small Quaker school. Most of the people from Buckingham Friends School would go on to George School, which is also a Quaker school.
Right.
And however, my parents decided it was time. They really wanted Brad, my brother, to go to Lawrenceville School.
And he was older than you?
And he was 4 years older.
Okay.
So he went off to Lawrenceville in high school. This was, he went in 75.
Okay.
He went off to Lawrenceville,
okay.
1975. And my sister and I stayed at Buckingham Friends. And then, so my mom would drive him back and forth to Lawrenceville. In those days, though, you got your license at 16.
Right,
so
right.
We,
it wasn't such a big deal.
Yeah, we started driving relatively early. And then my sister went off to Princeton Day School because Lawrenceville was all boys, of course, at the time. So she went off to Princeton Day School. And we knew about Princeton Day School because we had also grown up playing tennis tournaments with the Hicks family, which is Reeves and Joan Hicks of Princeton.
Okay.
So the Hicks family and my family had met going to tennis tournaments, and Darren Hicks had taught me tennis, and we got to know Jay Lapidus, who is ended up going to Princeton University to play tennis, but he was on the pro circuit a long time ago, and his older sister also taught me tennis, Mary Lapidus, and they all lived in Princeton. So we started making those connections early on, and so Libby used to go with us because the Hicks had like six kids, I think.
Uh-huh.
And they were always so busy in the community and doing a lot of philanthropic work. So the kids were kind of, anyway, we took Libby everywhere with us.
And she was your age?
She was my sister's age, right,
okay.
2 years older. And Libby, and I was in 12 and under, and my sister was in the 14 under tournaments, and my brother was in the 16 under tournaments. And so Libby, and I'll never forget, Libby was a character. And she still lives in this community. She became the best lacrosse referee in New Jersey and also did on a national scale.
Wow.
She was probably the best athlete I've ever known in my life, natural athlete.
Wow.
Libby Hicks. The whole family was very athletic. And that's really our first introduction to Pretty Brook Club, too, because they were members of Pretty Brook at the time. But so Libby came with us to one tournament in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and it was my sister's birthday because her birthday's in June. And so she decided that, you know, I was 10 at the time, and we borrowed someone's bike. I don't even know whose bike. I think we just took it. It was right there. We borrowed it, and we took the bike. There was only one down to this local little 5 and 10 store, and Libby insisted on buying a panda the size, like twice the size of how big we were, and all these balloons and tons of junk, and we carried it all back. We put the panda on the bicycle, and we wheeled the panda all the way back to the hotel room. And then we set up the whole hotel room with this huge panda bear and balloons and everything else. But that's the way Libby was. She was
that's
just
cool.
Full of fun and imagination. So my mom and Joan became friends at that time, and they're still friends
they're
to
still
this
friends.
Day.
Wow. And was PDS co-ed at that point?
PDS
so
was
it just
co-ed.
Become co-ed?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So Annabelle went in ninth grade. And she actually had skipped a grade at Buckingham, so she went back because my parents were worried about her being with her age group. At the time, New Hope Solbury was full of drugs. That's where we would have gone to public school.
Okay.
But my dad was
so
worried.
So we're talking about the mid-70s.
Right. My dad was so paranoid about drugs. In those days, you know, people were smoking pot in the streets of New Hope. And,
yeah.
You know,
people
so
were freaked out about
they were freaked
that.
Out about it. I had an older brother, two older brothers, half-brothers. Who had gone to school in their 60s, and they had gotten into drugs. So my dad was a little paranoid about it. So that's why they were insisted on us going to And also, my half-brothers had gone to boarding school. And my parents didn't want us to go to boarding school. So so my sister went off to PDS. I went to PDS early in seventh grade because they were both off, and my mom was taking them all the way to Princeton. It was a 40-minute drive, at least, 45-minute. And we had horses and all these animals. And I think there were a couple things that drove my mom to that's enough. You know, one, we had my sister and I had an accident at one point. But another time they came home and found me with an axe in the house. And they were like, what are you doing? And I had convinced, I stayed so long in the barn every night with the animals that when I would come back to the house, and it was pitch black, and it was this enormous house, so I would carry the axe around.
They figured they shouldn't leave you alone.
They probably
should put you in school in seventh grade.
So mom thought she didn't want me home alone anymore. And I am so used to being home alone. I kind of liked it. So it was hard for me to leave Buckingham early.
That's what I was going to ask you. How was PDS different than?
So Buckingham Friends was very much built on, you know, being outdoors. We had a principal who would cancel school when it was snowing, and we'd all go sledding and ice skating because we had a huge hill behind the school. We spent so much time outdoors, and so I was used to that. And I even rode my pony to school one time, or rode my bike to, you know, and all of a sudden I'm going to PDS, and my mom was always very strict about us, you know, wearing a dress and looking nice. So my first day visiting PDS, she insisted I wear this dress, and I got there, and PDS at that time was very preppy, and, you know, everybody wore corduroys and, you know, whatever, and all of a sudden we were going down to the bog or something, and I had this dress and party shoes on. I was mortified, and I couldn't believe I had to go to PDS, and was very unhappy about it. But luckily, when I came, Buckingham had a woman who'd coached us in field hockey and lacrosse who had been on the United States national team. So she was an incredible athlete. She lived in Bucks County. So luckily, my sister and I both played sports. So that was kind of my in into PDS. Mm-hmm. So I immediately was kind of accepted into the sports
group.
Yeah. And
what sports did you play?
So I played field hockey, basketball, and lacrosse. And then I eventually switched to squash, so I played three sports, and I loved it. I mean, PDS, I also, Anna, my sister, had her best friend had a younger sister who was my age, and so the four of us really became absolutely best friends, and we did everything with them.
And were they from Princeton?
And they were from Princeton. That was the Dennison family, and Mr. Dennison went to Princeton and had taught at Princeton, and Lolly and Ann, and their mother now lives at Stonebridge, and we're still very, very close to this day. So, and Lolly and Ann, so we really grew up together. When we stayed in Princeton, we always stayed at their house and everything.
In those days, I imagine a lot of the kids were from Princeton.
Right.
And did you feel different than, sounds like coming from a background like you did, a little bohemian, little bit Quaker.
Yeah.
I'm interested in what you're, as an outsider, what you're, what you thought of the kids.
Right.
When you first met them, before you became part of them.
Right. I definitely felt different. I felt as if everybody else had a normal life and I didn't. I mean, my parents took us out of school when we were at Buckingham, and we lived in Europe for 6 months. Someone offered them a condominium in Switzerland, and they thought it was a great opportunity. And Buckingham Friends was the kind of place where they said, oh, and we were smart enough, I guess, as kids. So they said, just take a math book, do some math, and write a journal. That's all we had to do for almost 6 months. I mean, part of that school was out. And then I went to PDS, and it was so different. And everybody was so strict and intense, and I was just like, wow, this is, you know. So luckily my sister kind of paved the way for me, but I think my sister fit in some ways better because she was more type A. I was much more of an independent person, so I think it was a little tougher. But I will say my class at PDS, the girls were terrific. Like there were a lot of girls that came from different places. We had a girl from Kentucky who originally, her mother, Mary Cross, is that famous photographer. So they had connections to Princeton and moved back here. And then, you know, I had Sarah Woodworth, who's longtime family resident, you know, family, Princeton family, but she was so different too. We were all kind of this group of girls that fit together, but we're very different.
Yeah.
And we weren't the normal Princeton crowd, I would say.
Right.
So we all made nicknames for each other. And we had Toof and Buff and Rant and Malou.
What were you?
I was Rant.
Rant.
we had a story behind each one. And we all became very close. But we were very, very different personalities. But I think that's why it worked for me.
Right.
The guys in my class were kind of very different, very nerdy uh-huh. crowd. We weren't exactly the most athletic in the guy section, but the girl section was very athletic, but also very unique. Uh-huh. We had one of my good friends was from Trenton, one was from, and we were all, you know, one was from Hopewell. We were all kind of different backgrounds.
And have you maintained those friendships?
Yes, a lot of them were still quite close. And we don't, some of them I stay in closer touch than others, but I'm, you know, with most of them, we stay in relatively good, I mean, we keep in contact.
Yeah. And did you have any impressions of the town of Princeton at that time?
I thought it was just like New York City, practically. I mean, we spent a lot of time in New York because my dad and Philadelphia, but Princeton was just, it had stores.
Yeah.
I mean, New Hope was kind of, that was where you went to just sort of hang out, and Princeton was like, that was like, wow.
That was before New Hope became all boutique.
Right, now. Right.
I remember.
Right. New Hope was kind of head shops and
exactly.
hippies at that time.
Exactly.
And one of the places I used to go was to buy, there were two places I went in New Hope. One was to buy rocks and tumble them until they got smooth. And the other, and it was just a gem place. And then the other place was this Japanese store that I got into bonsai. And so I used to buy all these Japanese things. So that was New Hope.
Right.
And Princeton was kind of like Landiles and Hewlett. You know, it was that.
It's like super preppy.
Super preppy. And I didn't have any preppy clothes. Oh, my gosh. I wore like, you know, stretch pants. And weird hand-me-downs from strange people, you know. So, or I had some, you know, bunch of dresses. My mom was also a buyer. She had become a buyer for Saks Fifth Avenue before she retired from that. But then she kept up another business in her closet. She was always doing something. She met this woman who did all these clothing, up in Bedminster, New Jersey, and she ended up selling all these clothes out of her closet, and she did pretty good business.
She was ahead of her time.
She was way ahead of her time, and so we had, you know, I had sort of my fun farm clothes, but then I had really nice, she had good taste, so she had some nice clothes, and she also sewed. She sewed all my costumes and a lot of my dresses growing up. So she was a really good sewer, too.
So it sounds like even though you had a lot of hesitation when you first went to Princeton School, by the time you graduated, you were one of the crowd. And it was a really good crowd.
It was a really good crowd. I think, you know, we just had an unusual time at PDS at that time. Everybody was so really just terrific and accepting of each other. And
so
I love PDS.
You graduated in...
I graduated in 79. My sister graduated in 77.
Okay.
And
so that's sort of the end of your first circling in Princeton.
First circling in Princeton.
And then, so tell us briefly what went on
kind of what happened
the next time you came back to Princeton.
Right. Well, first tell you, I got to, and I'll do this shortly, you know, the reason we ended up moving to Princeton was...
Oh, right. Yeah.
We had...
Bucks County.
Yeah. My sister and I were in a car accident. Nothing, you know, we've survived, but that scared my mom. And then I got very sick at one point and almost died. And so mom was just worried about the
stress. We have to sort of describe that. You can't just say,
oh, yeah.
Well, sick, almost died, so we moved.
I was very stubborn and athlete, as you know. So I developed ulcers, which I didn't know about. So I was losing blood for months and months and months. And I was at PDS. It was ninth grade. And it was spring of my freshman year in high school, and I would have these horrible pains, just like just absolutely the worst pains I've ever had in my life. And my mom would come all the way from Bucks County and take me to the hospital, and Dr. Burks, Dr. Chandler, all very, you know, old stalwart people from Princeton, who my parents are still close to this day, you know, would take me, I'd go to the hospital, Dr. Chandler, they would look me over. No one could figure out what I had. I didn't have appendicitis. No one could figure it out. They never thought of ulcers. Eventually, it subsided, and that's because the pain was from them burning holes in my stomach lining. And so once the holes were burned, I didn't have the pain anymore. So the holes were there. So I had three holes in my stomach lining, and I started losing blood.
Jeez.
And so then I started losing blood, and for months and months and months, all summer long, I was losing blood. And I started getting paler and paler, but, you know, my mom was, you know, we didn't even have aspirin in our house, you know. And so I grew up without medicine and really, and...
You were outdoor tough.
I was always outdoor tough, and, you know, and so when I started, there was particularly one day I started feeling ill, and I came home early, and then the next day I insisted on going. I felt funny, but I insisted on going to school. It was the fall, and we had field hockey, and we were a good field hockey team, and I was wanted to play, and so we had a game, and you couldn't play unless you went to school. I insisted on going to school, but then I couldn't even walk, so my dad came and picked me up. We went to the game, and then at the game, I couldn't even get out of the car. My dad went to watch my sister play, and I thought I was going to die. That was the first time in my life I really thought I was going to die. I just thought I was going to die sitting in that car. That's how terrible I felt. And that night, we came home. I started to feel a little better, and then my parents found me spitting up blood all over the place, and I passed out. And they called their friend, Dr. Bulkley, and he said, get her to the hospital as fast as you can. And my dad must have gone 150 miles an hour through every stoplight. And we went to the Doylestown Hospital. And luckily, Dr. Bulkley called this fellow who was a specialist. And he met us there and got blood through my feet because all my veins had collapsed by that time. So he got blood through my feet. And my mom gave me blood. You know, we had the same type blood. And of course, the doctor was so angry with my parents after that because he blamed them. But then I was in the hospital in intensive care for a long time, and it was
a long time.
I was in the hospital for close to 2.5 months, and intensive care for a while, and then in the hospital.
Jeez.
Yeah, because I really was pretty bad. And but there was a great outpouring from both Bucks County friends and PDS friends, which was really heartwarming. Yeah. I had PDS friends driving all the way from Princeton to Doylestown Hospital to see me and bring me things. And I had old Bucks County friends from Buckingham Friends, people found out who would hitchhike, because, of course, they have cars. They would hitchhike or drive a tractor to come see me at the Doylestown Hospital. But it was really great. And so, anyway, with all this going on, and we rented our house, as you remember. We didn't own the house. My mom couldn't take it anymore. It was a huge house. It had... you know, two guests, you know, ballroom, 9 bathrooms.
And plus she was probably tired of the commute.
She was tired of the commute, tired of taking care of the place. It was too much.
Right.
And so we moved, and she had been pushing my dad for a long time. My dad did not want to move. He loved that house in Bucks County. And she did too. She just couldn't do it anymore. So we moved to PDS, to Princeton, and they picked a house on the western side of town because Mom wanted to retain her relationships with all her best friends were really in Bucks County.
In Bucks County, right. So she wanted to be able to
get back and forth and play tennis with them and bridge.
So where on the west side of county?
So we were on Stony Brook Lane off of Province Line Road and Pretty Brook area.
Oh, okay.
That area.
Yeah.
And so you could kind of get on Carter and go through Hopewell and back home. And so it was a great spot. We were right on the stream. And Mom also felt like it was still outdoorsy enough. That she liked it. So we moved, and I was thrilled because, of course, now I could be near all my friends. And so, because at this point, my friends were really in Princeton.
Right.
And I didn't like and my parents were very strict about going to
parties. And it was before you could drive on your own yet.
Right,
anyway.
Right.
So now you could just walk to your
friends. Right. I guess I had just gotten my license at this time, but a big part of it was my parents wouldn't let me go out more than one night on the weekend. My dad hated me spending the night in Princeton at all. He always wanted everybody out in Bucks County, and so I felt like I was missing out, you know, on a lot of relationship building and friends and parties and, you know, how that goes. So anyway, so we moved to Princeton and dragged my dad. He didn't help at all because he didn't want to move, so we moved. It was just a nightmare, and then so that was my junior year in high school. And then we lived in Princeton. I went off to college. And then my parents stayed in Princeton all that time. So really I lived in Princeton through college. And then after college, I moved to D.C., but I got married a year out of college.
Okay.
And we moved to New Orleans.
So did you say where you went to college?
Middlebury College.
Middlebury College. So you left Princeton, you
right.
went to Middlebury,
right.
and you got married almost as soon as you graduated.
Right.
And moved to New Orleans.
Right. And okay. I married a fellow whose father was provost at Princeton.
So I
still had that Princeton connection. It was the Hackney family. Sheldon Hackney had been provost, but then he became president of Tulane, and then from Tulane he became president of the University of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So I married his son, who had also grown up in Princeton and gone to PDS, but we did not overlap.
Oh, that's funny.
Which is very funny.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Okay, so he had a Princeton connection as well.
He had a Princeton connection as well.
Huh.
So
tell us about your second time in Princeton.
So we moved back from New Orleans to Philadelphia, and I lived there for a time until we moved to Yardley. And when we moved to Yardley, we had one child, but soon after that had two. And I realized I really wanted to go back to work. And I just up and decided I was going to go to Lawrenceville School and see if I could get a job. So I did, and they hired me.
What year was this?
This was in 90, this was in about 1990.
Yeah.
And so I went and got a missions job, and I did that triumvirate where I coached field hockey and lacrosse, I taught history and religion, and I did admissions for Lawrenceville. I had done college admissions at Tulane, so I did have an admissions background.
And so the kids were in daycare?
So the kids were in daycare, and then I got an au pair from Sweden, actually.
Oh, okay.
So we had a Swedish au pair who was wonderful, and my now ex-husband worked in Philadelphia as a lawyer. So he commuted one way, I commuted the other way.
Okay.
And we had a couple Swedish au pairs. And then I did get divorced and at that time moved to Princeton and rented a house for about a year.
And where was that?
That was in the border of Lawrenceville and Princeton, near Bristol-Myers. And lived in the rental for a year and then got remarried to another Middlebury man. Both of them had gone to Middlebury College. Another Middlebury man who we then bought a farm, an old dairy farm in Hopewell, right out of town on Hopewell-Elmwell Road.
Okay.
And interesting enough, the brick farm, which is now the Brick Farm Tavern and so forth, that brick farm was owned originally in the family by a woman who is the godmother of one of my children. And we all went to Buckingham Friends together. So there's so many crossovers constantly and all these interconnections.
And so how did you get involved with Princeton again?
So then when I moved there, I joined my mom's garden club. And I'm now in a different one, but I joined the Contemporary Garden Club, which was my mom's.
And your mom is living in Princeton now.
And she's living in Princeton.
Yes, okay.
And she's still in their house. And mm-hmm. so she's, of course, loving it.
Her grandchildren are close.
And she and I really did a great deal together because I decided to have my two older kids who go back and go to school at Buckingham Friends School. So I did the reverse commute.
Oh, my
now.
Gosh.
So my mom helped me a great deal with the driving because I had a new baby, and these two were going back to kindergarten.
So here she found herself doing the commute again.
Exactly, only in reverse. And it was, it's funny because she loved it at the same time because she got this wonderful opportunity to be with her grandchildren on these long rides. And really when you're on these long rides
best
time you talk.
Yeah.
So, but it was once again her commute again after all these years. And she had become a decorator in her fiftieth career move. She also did a lot of career moves. So she became an interior decorator with another Princeton woman, the Pell family, who he had gone to Princeton. A lot of people in Princeton during those years. Most of there was a majority of people who the husband had gone to Princeton.
And then stayed.
And then stayed.
For whatever reason.
So they opened a business together. Eventually they split apart, but my mom still decorating to this day at 94.
Yeah.
She still has some people she does work for. So she was doing decorating, and so she had that flexibility to help me. And at that time, I then became more and more involved. I eventually moved my children, my son to Hopewell Public Schools, and my daughter to Stewart at that time, my older daughter. And so then my older daughter, my younger daughter, went to Stewart, and then my fourth child eventually went to nursery school at Stewart. So I kind of had left the idea of PDS and started at Stewart because of the preschool program there, which was so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to reconnect with so many old friends as well, because there were a lot of even people who were in my wedding who lived in Princeton, like Jane Henderson at that time. And so I had a lot of old Lolly Dennison, all these old sort of connections still in Princeton. And then
it sounds like a lot of your friends had stayed in the Princeton area.
A lot of people did.
Again, you were a little bit of the bohemian, sort of coming
right.
and going and coming and going, and still going back and forth.
Still going back and forth, not leaving that Bucks County piece. I really wanted my children to have that Bucks County experience.
Yeah, yeah. So tell us how you got back into the world of PDS, because that's where I met you
right.
when you were coaching.
Right. So I was coach. I came back and I wanted to obviously still do something. I left Lawrenceville, and at that time PDS knew I'd been coaching, so they asked me to start coaching at PDS. So I did the coaching, and I also started doing lacrosse reffing at that time. And so then Libby Hicks and I came.
Who you had talked about.
Who I've talked about a long time ago. She and I kind of reconnected quite a bit at that time as well, because she's the one who really got me into doing the reffing.
So, which was a big job.
It was a big job. And so she kind of got me on, and I started doing a lot more reffing and coaching, especially with having young children. Reffing worked well because you could make your schedule a certain way. And then I won't go into the whole thing, but my husband and I opened restaurants in Princeton. So I had a restaurant for a number of years
in
Princeton.
And what year was this?
So this was in the late
90s.
97, exactly.
Yeah. So that was a whole different part of Princeton.
And we opened the restaurant in the space that we always used to go to an Italian restaurant.
What was the name of the restaurant?
Harriet's.
Yeah, I think that's important.
Yeah.
Because I think people will remember
they
that.
They will. They will.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
you were kind of the hostess.
And I was the hostess.
Your kids at that point were old enough.
Right.
You didn't have to be there at
right.
night.
And I had a wonderful woman come and help, really became my sister, who took care of my kids a great deal at that time. And she was trying to be an actress, and so she had flexibility. And she was wonderful. And so it was hard, though, because my kids would call me about homework all the time at work, and it was very
while
tough.
While you're feeding people.
Right. So that was tough. The kids were still young, so it was hard, but they were still – but it was wonderful. It was a wonderful time. And the restaurant did very well. We were Zagat rated.
And that was before the foodie –
right. We were the first farm-to-table,
yeah.
really, at that
yeah.
time. It was a – I had always been a gardener.
You have to mention what Zagat is.
Oh, right.
Everyone would know what that meant.
So,
Zagat rated.
I would say, for one thing, I got into food, really. My mom said to mention this, actually. She said, which is true, I became a cook. Really, I cooked, but I really wasn't a cook, I would say, until I moved to New Orleans. And I really learned how to cook in New Orleans when I lived in New Orleans, and continued that and actually catered on Martha's Vineyard one summer and so forth. So I had that background, but I really believed in the farm-to-table aspect of it. And so when I started Harriet's, that was my focus, was I wanted people to know where their food came from.
And were there farms around the Princeton
And there
area?
Were farms. And at that time, the watershed had a very big CSA program. Now
yeah,
that has changed, right. but... We locally sourced, and I hired a chef who was very good at, he took that lead with me, and he
right.
locally sourced, and he was very fish, meat, everything. And he has now reopened another restaurant in Lambertville that has that same focus. You know where all the food comes from, and he locally sources as much as he can. So that was really, I really wanted to focus on, I was really the first farm-to-table kind of restaurant, I think, and now it's become such a thing with
Yeah.
the restaurants in Princeton.
So if you had to compare the Princeton of the late 70s when you were here in high school to the Princeton of the late 90s when you were serving people in that restaurant, what would you say there was a difference? What had changed? What had stayed the same?
Yeah, there were certain, I mean, there were things that were the same because you had a lot of families who never left.
Yeah.
There were a lot of, you know, the Wards and the Strauts and the Dennis. And there was so many families I grew up with that have always, and the children have stayed here. So that's been wonderful. But at the same time, Princeton really grew during that time. And there was just a huge influx of money. You know, the tech boom, the .com, pharmaceutical, just this huge influx of money. And then that's when sort of all these new, very large homes were built, you know, sort of around where the Boys Academy became, where my youngest went to the Boys Academy. And all those houses were built during that time. And so I think that was really why we did the restaurants, because we saw that there was a change. There was a need. However, we were just a touch. I mean, Harriet's did very well, but we expanded too fast.
Yeah, you were a little ahead of
the game. We were a little ahead of the game there. And people, when I grew up, really had parties. You know, even in Princeton, I mean, in Bucks County I grew up, my parents had these huge parties. And people had dinner parties all the time. When you had, at Christmas time, you had, you know, you invited a lot of people. It wasn't just family in those days. People really had a lot of dinner parties. And there was a lot more focus on family. So my mother and the Burks and the Chandlers and a lot of those old Princeton families started this Christmas dinner dance. And every Christmas they would have this big family dinner dance at Beedensburg Club. And it was one of the most wonderful memories. We all looked forward to it. I mean, you know, long dresses, and we all looked forward to it. And those kind of things have gone by the wayside. It was people had many more things in their home than they do now. And so when I did the restaurants, it was still in that transition time where people were not yet eating out as much.
Yeah.
And now, as you see in Princeton, you know, on my return here, you know, everybody, restaurants are packed all the time. People eat out all the time. That was not really a thing when I grew up in Princeton.
Yeah, yeah.
And even when I had the restaurants, it was starting at that point, but it really wasn't a thing at that time.
Right.
And there wasn't the focus on food that there is now.
Right.
And how food relates to your health and so forth. And I think that's, you know, my mom would say there's been a breakdown. I mean, one of the other things that has changed is, as my kids too, kids became so, everything was
scattered
sports. Everything was scattered and everybody went off. When I grew up, you were home in the summer or you went to camp for a period of time, as I did. We went to camp in Maine, but not till I was older. And I think, and now with sports, and all of a sudden there's sports on Sunday. When I grew up, you know, we went to church on Sunday, and that was a very much a time. So I think, you know, a lot of that, things have changed quite a bit. And then I decided to leave. You know, my marriage was not in good shape. We had lost the restaurants, and I decided that I needed to move away and really experience something different and go back to nature. I've really always had that relationship to nature, and I think that's, you know, we'll talk about sea change, but that's really where that came from.
And this was 2004. I'm just going to sort of accelerate you because I want to give you time to describe now what you're
coming
doing
back
here.
Right.
So 2004, you moved away.
We moved away, we went to Middlebury, and I decided to have my kids finish their grad. My daughter graduated from Stewart, my oldest. She went off to University of Pennsylvania, and we moved to Vermont, and my kids.
You and the three younger children.
The three younger children, and they went to school at the public schools in Vermont. And we had a farm up there, and we took all our animals, which we had about 500 animals, I think, including all the reptiles, and moved to Vermont. And I really was quite a single parent at that time, and I went into journalism then and coached. I still coached, and I ended up coming a little bit full circle with the Eggner family, too, who we knew in Bucks County. We also knew at PDS, and I also lived next door to one of the Eggners in Hopewell. I moved to Middlebury. I come to find out his sister lives in Middlebury, and then my daughter dates their child. So there are certain families that keep coming up in my life, and my parents, my mom's still close to the grandmother. And so anyway, I moved there and lived there for some time and the kids grew up there, and then
you sort of gave them the childhood that you had experienced.
Right, exactly.
25, 30 years
right.
ago.
Right, it was very much the outdoors childhood.
Yeah.
And farm, we mm-hmm. lived surrounded by farms up there. And really cemented my focus on the environment, I'd say, and my focus on farm to table and eating from your garden. And I really expanded my gardening capabilities at that time when I lived in Vermont, and also my focus on the environment and that. And so then when I was divorced and I came back and the kids had finally gone off to college, I was kind of like, what am I going to do? And realized that during this time, I always came back to Princeton, and I always connected with my community in Princeton. My closest friends have always been in Princeton. So when I came to figure out, and I had dated someone in Princeton, so I think all of that, but when I came to figure out where should I go, it was Princeton that came up. I never thought I would move back to Princeton, but all of a sudden that's where my community was, and I realized how important community is. And that's really why I moved back. So I came back and reconnected with friends and was asked to join this.
This is 2016 now?
This is 2016.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And my kids are all off, and although now, of course, they live close by again. And my two daughters live in New York. One of them moved from Boston, moved in with me in Princeton for 6 months, and she lives in New York and works. The other one is back living with me but commutes to New York. So I have two daughters in New York. I have a son who started an organic farm, so he's kind of carrying on that tradition in Ellenville, New York. And then my youngest is at Middlebury, so he's carrying on a little bit of that tradition. And so I came back and reconnected and worked down in Trenton, which I had really felt I wanted to work in an underserved community. So it seemed natural to go to Trenton, and that really came from my parents' lineage.
And where did you work in Trenton?
At Foundation Academies.
And so
a charter school, and I was director of development, and loved the job, and it was a wonderful start to a new career for me and a new life here. It wasn't exactly the right job, and so now I'm doing more consulting on my own, and it's giving me the flexibility to also do this environmental work with
Food Change. Yeah, do talk about that, because that's a lot of women in Princeton,
right,
who have spearheaded
that. Exactly. So through the Garden Club connection, actually, the Sea Change, so I reconnected with my friend Kathleen Biggins, and Kathleen, who was also, we knew each other way back when I lived here, and so Kathleen said, "You're with your environmental background, would you join our Sea Change conversations?" And she explained what it was.
You have to explain what it is.
So it started out really talking. She came back from the legislative conference in D.C., and there was all this discussion on climate change, and she knew nothing about climate change, and she realized that the community back in Princeton didn't know anything about climate change, or most of her friends. And maybe her liberal friends did, but her more conservative friends did not. And so she wanted to talk about it. And so she started this conversation. In a very nonpartisan, apolitical approach to it. And so she would bring in speakers to talk about climate change. What became very clear rather quickly was that no one knew the science behind climate change. So at that time, I had joined at that point, and we developed this primer that would talk about the science behind climate change. And we have now grown to 10 women. There were 3 women when I joined, 3 or 4, and now there's 10 of us. And it just happens to be all women. We didn't say that no one could join. It just happens to be all women, and we all have other things in our life, but this is all volunteer at this point. And we just got our nonprofit status, but we have presented this primer twice to the legislative conference of garden clubs in D.C., and because of that, all these garden clubs have asked us to now present across the United States. So we've been all the way out to California, we're going to Mississippi, we're going to New Orleans, we've been to Seattle, we're going up north. We're trying to reach a very nonpartisan audience, and it's really exploding quite a bit. So I wanted to have time, because I'm becoming a presenter as well. At this point, we only had Kathleen, so now there are a couple of us presenting, training to present as well.
Right.
So
that's a whole nother facet of Princeton,
right,
which is great that you bring it up, because I remember when I was a reporter here, there are have always been activists in Princeton.
Right.
It's always been a very involved town.
Right.
And community. And so now you're part of that.
Right.
And so it illuminates a whole nother part of this.
It's so true.
Amazing place.
It's so true. It's interesting. My mom and I were talking about all that. She was here when a lot of the organizations, like Arm in Arm and National Presbyterian, sort of spearheaded Sue Ellen Page, who spearheaded the chorus, Trenton Chorus, and the Arm in Arm program. And
I don't know what the Arm in Arm
is. Arm in Arm is sort of feeding and housing, you know, this is about the time of Homefront, too, but Arm in Arm does a lot of the work.
Early work with homeless.
Early, yes. And so, and feeding, you know, feeding homeless and so forth. So it's interesting because, and then they got very involved in the people with disabilities and so forth. Mom said this, when she was involved in the 80s, that's really when all these things started. And now they've grown, but now when I come back, it's so interesting. I'm meeting a much more engaged community in a much more expansively engaged community.
Yeah.
But there's elements that I never knew. Like you felt, I think the university was very much a separate entity originally when I knew Princeton. Mm-hmm. It was sort of the university crowd. And from the Hackneys, they told me that it was very much stayed separate in a way. And now I feel
town
that... Town and gown, exactly. And I feel that that is changing. And there's a lot more people trying to cross those barriers and connect everything and be much more engaged on all levels in Princeton. And I'm meeting so many people in Princeton I never have known before, which has been so exciting.
Yeah, that is. That's really exciting.
It's just a whole new element. I feel like I've been reborn in a sense, you know. And so all my worry about moving back to Princeton about, oh, am I going to be doing the same old thing? You know, it's now I'm doing all new things and meeting new people, but retaining all these wonderful old friendships as well. So it's been a great new life for me.
Thank you again for your time. This is the end of the recording.